Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes it seems that life moves so fast. We sometimes feel like we're running a race, going from one major event, skipping over some minor events, and just keep going without really ever looking back. Major events throughout our year become almost like hurdles to a hurdler. If you've ever run track and have been a hurdler, you know as the runner takes off out of the starting blocks and makes their way down the track, as they approach their first hurdle, they probably do so with a bit of anxiety and maybe a little bit of worry, but yet they're confident because they've run this kind of race. They've hurdled over this kind of hurdle many times before in practice. But then after they make it over their first hurdle and they're on to the next, there's not really any time to celebrate that you've overcome that hurdle or to enjoy your success. In a few steps comes another hurdle, and then another, and then another. The only thing that matters in that moment is the approaching hurdle. The hurdles that have come before are just a memory. But you're counting your steps. You're making sure that you're leading with the correct foot, maintaining your speed, maintaining your focus and your breathing. The goal is not to let any hurdle affect you, whether for the good or the bad. If you happen to touch a hurdle or to even stumble, your practice, your training tells you to get up and keep going. That's the way you run. So do we run through the race of life as if we were hurdlers, clearing the hurdles, approaching new ones without looking back? Just days ago, just a matter of steps ago, we celebrated Christmas. With all of our preparations and adjustments that we've had to make, has Christmas become maybe just a hurdle to us? Something that we can leave behind once it's accomplished? Something that does not affect us beyond the current moment? COVID has certainly added to the complexity of our hurdling. Now, not only are we going from one major hurdle to another, just counting in a very organized and rhythmic fashion our steps and our breathing, as if we're going, you know, from the start of school to Halloween and Thanksgiving and Halloween, Christmas and New Year's. Now we're making what seems like a million adjustments all along the way while we're running. We can't stop to reconsider. We can't slow down. We have to keep going, maintain our pace, maintain our focus. And nothing in our life training has prepared us for this time, this moment. It's like we're running while making these adjustments and also carrying a heavy burden on our back that makes it harder to maintain the focus and the pace that we had before, that makes it much more difficult to hurdle the normal hurdles of life. It makes them much more difficult. Now that Christmas has passed, now that it's history, our decorations remain, but we keep moving forward. Now the new year is upon us. Many of us prepare by making resolutions as though we're rounding a corner and getting ready for a new set of hurdles. We may face the new year and all of its hurdles with apprehension, anxiety, but also eagerness and hope. But before we get too far, let's go back to Christmas. Rather than being yet another hurdle, I'd like for us to be changed by the event of Christmas. To do it feels a bit unnatural, and slow down a bit. to turn around and look at where we've been and what we have become. Because Jesus didn't come into the world just to be another hurdle, another obstacle to be overcome. Jesus came that we might know God's love, that we might experience true and abundant life. Jesus came that we might see ourselves as God sees us, not as slaves or puppets or pawns, but as His children, as we heard in the reading today from Galatians. The prophet Isaiah said, "You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God." Wow. Think about that. A royal diadem in the hand of your God. We make resolutions that largely, I think, focus on we are not what we are not, and maybe on what we hope to become, which is also a reflection of what we are not. Have you ever considered yourself as a thing of beauty in the hands of God? I just think that's beautiful, that God loves and cherishes us as we are. Now, there's a song by Wayne Watson. Some of you may know him. He's a Christian singer from a number of years ago. And I'd like to share the words of one of his songs with you. It goes like this. "Well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But then he held it up with a smile. It sure ain't much, but it's all we've got. I guess we ought to sell it too. Now, who'll start the bid on this old violin? Just one more and we'll be through." And then he cried, "One. Give me $1. Who'll make it two? Only $2? Who'll make it three? $3 twice? Now, that's a good price. Now, who's got a bid for me? Raise up your hand and don't wait any longer. The auction's about to end. Who's got four? Just $1 more to bid on this old violin." Well, the air was hot and the people stood around as the sun was setting low. From the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. He wiped the dust from the old violin and tightened up the strings. Then he played out a melody pure and sweet, sweeter than the angels sing. And then the music stopped. And the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, he said, "What am I to bid for this old violin?" Then he held it up with a bow. And then he cried, "One, give me 1,000. Who'll make it two? Only 2,000? Who'll make it three? 3,000 twice. Now that's a good price. But who's got a bid for me?" The people cried out, "What made the change? We don't understand." Then the auctioneer stopped. He said with a smile, "It was the touch of a master's hand." Now you know many a man with a life out of tune is battered and scarred with sin, and he's auctioned cheap to a thankless world, much like that old violin. Then the master comes, and the foolish crowd, they never understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought just by one touch of the master's hand. You see, God holds us in His hands, sees us as we are, wipes away the dust, tightens some strings, loosens others, and brings us back into tune, and begins to use you in beautiful ways that others can hear and see. That's the difference of when we are precious and held in God's hand. So in other words, God calls us to be light so that others may see more clearly who God is. Consider those we hear about in the gospel stories surrounding Jesus' birth: Mary, John the Baptist, the shepherds, Simeon, Anna. These people were not extraordinary, except that Jesus' birth transformed their lives. They became witnesses of Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one of God, the one through whom heaven touched earth, the one of whom Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Don't know what happened to Simeon and Anna after the birth of Jesus and his family returned to Nazareth. But how can you simply return to life as usual after having been touched by the Master's hand? Their hope and their faith were renewed because of this child. While Christmas may be a hurdle to us with all of its preparations and all of the busyness that surrounds us, and we must return at some point to the business of doing normal life. Through the miracle of Christmas, you and I are touched by the Master's hand, and we are forever changed. Through God's hand moving in our lives, we see the light of Christ, and we become light so that others also may see God. As we enter into this new year with all of its uncertainties, we look forward in hope and expectation of the touch of the Master's hand. For you and I are people forever touched by the miracle of Christmas. You and I are forever precious in the hands of God, and we are sent to bear witness to the world. In the name of Jesus, amen.